So officially, welcome everybody to the very last session of Unpacking Tech That Makes You Feel at Home. My name is Stuart Lawler from Sight and Sound Technology, and all week we've been delving into a whole range of software and hardware solutions from Vispero, and I must say, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I kind of wish we were keeping going with this, but I didn't want to ask Ash or Stuart to work at the weekends because mightn't have got a great reception. So Ash Cross is from our tech support department. Ash, you're so welcome. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you.
Great to have you. I know you're very busy and you're kind of team leading, so you're kind of overseeing a lot of what goes on in the tech support department, and we might talk about tech support in a sec. So very grateful to you for joining us. Stuart, you're no stranger to Sight and Sound webinars. You probably run them yourself at this stage, so welcome back.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to hopefully taking some questions if I'm able to answer them.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to questions as well. And speaking of questions, we'd love to hear yours. This is your session. For the last 4 days, we've been setting the agenda. We had some great presentations, but today it's free and open because it's Friday and we're all feeling a little bit relaxed. And if you would like to ask a question, you can do so by raising your hand in Zoom by pressing Alt and Y, or you can type in the chat by pressing Alt and H. And one of the really interesting things I've noticed over the last few days, and I was just saying to the guys here before we came on air, is that lots of people have been helping each other out. So there is very likely going to be questions that, you know, because none of us know everything, but people in the audience have been providing help to other audience members. And I've no doubt we might see some of that today as well. So if you'd like to ask a question or put anything to our panel, because Ash and Stuart are very happy to answer your questions. And we're going to do this for about the next hour. So we're with you till about 3 o'clock today. Please do raise your hand. Now, of course, we're doing this because of the major special offers we have at the moment on a whole range of assistive technology from Vispero. We've mentioned JAWS, Fusion, Zoom Text, the Pearl camera, the Ruby handhelds, and of course, the Focus Braille displays. They're all on offer at the moment and will be until the 31st of August. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can go onto sightandsound.co.uk or call us in Northampton on 01604 798 070. I know the guys are really busy doing that at the moment. So please bear with us. Somebody will get back to you. If you're in Ireland, call us in Dublin on 01665 0429. Now, Ash, I know your team are very busy. There's a lot of stuff going on in tech support. One of the things, I think when we had you on a podcast before, we were asking you for some top tips, but I think it's worth going through those again. When people call you guys up, I guess sometimes they're a bit anxious, they're stressed, they need something in a hurry. But isn't there, I suppose it's important to understand that we can help you and help ourselves to make sure that that process goes as smoothly as possible. What can people do?
Definitely, yeah. So depending on the product, of course, but most of the time, like a serial number will help. And obviously, the name of the product will help a great deal too. Sometimes we won't know that up front. So serial number, probably the main thing would really speed things up a little bit.
Okay. And I suppose to be near your computer, ready to follow whatever guidance you're going to give, or let your team take remote control, because you do that as well, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely having the computer ready. If it is a computer you're calling about, then we can remote write on then and speed things up somewhat.
How does the tech support ticketing system work, and how can people maybe use that to its max?
So yeah, this was implemented maybe a little less than a year ago, where we changed our format slightly. So it means when people call or email in on our side, that makes a ticket, a support ticket. Essentially, that's just like a nice and tidy record of every interaction we've had for that case, for that customer. And in the end, delivers a better sort of end product for the consumer, really, in terms of support.
Okay, so people can, so I suppose when you log an email, if you send an email to support, you get a ticket, and that's your paper trail, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a reference number. It's like a five or six digit reference number. You know, if you were to call about that, you wanted to chase something or whatever, you could just give us that reference number or that ticket number. We can hop right on and have a look there. And yeah, that's the customer's trail as well, like you say.
Okay. Stuart, I know you've been, and this is really maybe interesting for people to hear, you always seem to test these really interesting new gadgets that's just come onto the market, and you've been focusing on the kind of mobility and out and about stuff lately. I know you're going to tell us loads next Thursday, so we get a bit of a teaser, but how have you been getting on, and what's it been like?
Well, apart from when you say testing, I'm testing them because I'm buying these products.
Yes, yeah, we should add that. A great expense. Yes.
Whether, you know, so the bank balance, talking of testing, that is not standing the test of time too well at the moment. But it's been fascinating because I've just been so fascinated with navigation devices for years. And the webinar, by the way, I can plug. For next Thursday, it's next Thursday, isn't
next
it?
Thursday,
it's,
yes, it is.
Is on the WeWalk Smart Cane, and it will be my dulcet tones you'll hear again, but I will be demoing it exclusively from my user testing of the WeWalk. I purchased one, I think it was about 3 weeks ago to a month ago now, and I've been having rather good fun with it. It's really, really cool. So anyone who is interested in the WeWalk and all of its fantastic features, then come along next Thursday. And again, I'm happy to take questions after the demo. It's, you know, the webinars are on the Thursdays that are your time, the social hubs. So yep. I'll keep it hopefully quite concise, the demo, and then we'll leave plenty of time for questions about the demo of the WeWalk as well.
I have a load of thoughts, Stuart, that are coming to my head when you talk about the WeWalk. And I suppose, look, I know we'll talk lots about next Thursday, but have you experienced, after using it, have you experienced going out and about then just with your normal white cane? And has it been weird, or have you done that?
So I'm primarily a guide dog user. And, you know, I just, the reason I'm kind of buying all these navigation devices at the moment is because my guide dog is due to retire. And, you know, that's another story. That's a heartbreak in itself. So, you know, I've been using the WeWalk, as I say. The first couple of times I used it, I actually had my mum following me because the cane is not something that the traditional cane, shall we say, Stuart, is something that I'm not confident with at all.
Okay.
But the WeWalk on the, I'm still only trying short routes, but it's fascinating because your phone is basically redundant because everything is going through the cane. You know, the cane has its own speaker in it. So when I put a destination and say I'm going from my mum's bit to my own house, every 15 seconds, it's keeping me on track. So, you know, it's telling me go straight on, go slightly left. You know, turn right in 5 meters. The destination is on your right in 10 meters. And to have that complete voice guidance, which is completely customizable as well, by the way, it really is through a cane, you know, and having that hands-free experience, I just find it's really, really innovative. And it's rather fascinating. And confidence-wise, I've noticed, even I'm walking quicker with this WeWalk. You know, it would take me ages to get to where I need to be with a normal cane. I'd be bumping off every curb and obstacle. But, you know, the WeWalk has obstacle detection at chest and head level. So again, if I'm going up the street, I'll feel a vibration. Oh, right, that could be an overhanging hedge, or, you know, it could be a bin coming up, and the obstacle detection is making me aware of that. So I'm bumping into things, or, you know, that the cane is hitting things a lot less. So I think that's quite good for wear and tear of the cane as well in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really looking forward to hearing about it because I think it's fascinating, and it's kind of very new and cutting tech. And of course, they started off as a very small company, I think, and they've got some kind of award. So we're looking forward to hearing all about that next week, Stuart, 10 o'clock on Thursday, the 19th. Please join us. Now, you remember, you can raise your hand, Alt and Y, if you'd like to put your hand up. If you're on a mobile device, of course, activate the raise hand button, or you can type in the chat with Alt and H. Great to see Svetlana here as well. Svetlana has been attending all our sessions, I think, from Monday. And Svetlana is part of the Elita group in Moscow, who, of course, are responsible for the L-Braille. So I think, Svetlana, we must look at doing another catch-up with the L-Braille soon, see how things are going, because that's a product that I know Stuart and I rave about anytime we talk about the L-Braille. So it's a great device.
Great product.
It's a great product. I got an email in advance of the session from, excuse me now, I've just, of course, lost it. We got an email from Shafit Chowdhury, and I hope Shafit, I pronounced your name correctly, but he has asked, can I ask a query about getting started with coding to help boost my career and CV while being confident that JAWS will be able to work with the coding language software? For example, can I start by learning by using PowerShell, Python, Visual Basic, etc.? What coding languages are JAWS users known to be confident with? I'm not a coder. We're chatting about this off air beforehand. Stuart, I know you sort of dabbled in JAWS scripting, or you sort of played with it, and I don't know, you haven't taken it much further, I think.
I can't cope with it, to be perfectly honest. I just, you know, I tried it and I got very, very basic things to work, and then it just, my brain just froze. You know, the knowledge that, you know, is needed to go in there is, you know, I think it's a very, very unknown side of things, and there are only a couple of people that I know in the UK and in America who actually do it. So it's not something that's done often from what I can gather. So I'm afraid I can't help with these questions, but maybe somebody in the audience can.
I'm also not an expert on the coding side of things, but I think it depends. I mean, the language itself, of course, a JAWS user would be able to use that language and you know, do coding, but I think it depends more on the application, really. So which text editor you'd be using and whether that's accessible with JAWS. I think that's really the question. For example, I think Notepad++ is like an editor that's quite common for people that are into coding. I'm pretty sure that's accessible. It's quite a basic sort of Notepad editor that coders use. So something like that would be ideal. Hopefully that might be of some use.
Okay, very good. And I'd say, if there is anybody else on the session who's doing coding, if you've done a bit of coding, if you've tried it in the past, or maybe you're learning a language at the moment, be really interesting to hear your experiences on what works, what doesn't work, what's difficult for JAWS users, because I think it's a good question that is asked, because it's around employment. And if you want to make a career in this thing, you want to be confident that whatever you need to be able to write in is going to be supported and worked with JAWS when you're going into the mainstream and saying that you're a coder. So I think it's a really interesting question to ask. Stuart, I suppose as well, curious, because we've been talking during the week about things like Sharky and JAWS, for example, some of the new features. Have you been using those? Do you find the voice control has been any aid for you? Does it like your Scottish accent?
It's a tiny bit hit and miss with the Scottish accent, but it has been getting better with the most recent updates. I've found sometimes it goes off for no apparent reason. And I just think, what did my computer do there? And then it was actually, you know, I'd said the wake word. I use it on and off, but to be honest, I'm so used to using the keyboard. I mean, to be honest with you, it's the same, you know, Ash and Stuart, it's the same with me for iOS. I very, very rarely use dictation. And I think it's just because I've just gotten into the habit of, you know, using the gestures on the iOS touch screen, you know, touch typing using the on-screen keyboards. And it's the same with JAWS, you know, just very, very basic things. You know, if I just very, very quickly to look up the time, I'll say, you know, what's the time? What's the date? But that's really, and as far as I've gone, did you use it at all, Stuart, the voice commands or?
I'm a bit like you, Stuart. So I don't use Siri. I'm maybe that's because I know I'm a bit kind of unique in this, I suppose. But I carry my Braille display everywhere with me. So when I'm out and about, I'm sending a text with the Braille display. And of course, the problem with that is, on the odd time I don't have it, I really find myself I'm very stuck, because I struggle to type with any level of proficiency on the touchscreen. So I don't use Siri a whole lot. And when I do, I tend to find that it doesn't really understand what I want it to say, or at least it gets half of it and not the other half, and I get very frustrated. So it's interesting, because I suppose we use technology so much, but when it fails us sometimes, it tends to fail spectacularly, doesn't it?
It does, but then again, you look at something like the brilliant Amazon Echo, and that's just, to me, is an absolute godsend, because I've got that thing. I mean, I actually don't know where I would be without that thing now. You know, I've got it controlling my lights, my plugs, my kettles, my heating, my robot Hoover, you know, just everything. Just a simple voice command, you know, you just say, you know who Set the thermostat to 12, you know, turn the bedroom light on, ask the Hoover to start cleaning, you know, etc. So
it's amazing.
Amazon,
robot Hoover. Wow, it's amazing. Yeah, that's fantastic. I didn't know you had one of those, Stuart. That's pretty impressive.
It's a wonderful thing. But it has it's a Dyson one at, again, great expense. And I'm not made of money, by the way. I just want my life to be as easy as possible.
Yeah.
And this thing has a 360-degree camera on the top of it, this Hoover, and so it can see where it's going. So it actually, it comes off its recharging pad, and it maps out the living room where it's based. You know, that's its base. So it maps that out, hoovers it. You know, it knows where it's going, so it doesn't hit anything. Then it goes into the hall, it maps that out, hoovers it, goes into the kitchen, hoovers that. And then what it does is, once it goes below 40%, it's fascinating to see this, pardon the expression, but what it does is it finds its way back to its charger, it recharges itself, and then it remembers where it's been, and then it goes and hoovers the bedroom, and then just goes home to its bed, its charger again. And then even if I'm at work, it sends me a notification, yep, that's your Dyson Hoover, it's finished, it's clean. So then all I do is just go in. I don't need to find it because I know it's on its charger, and I just empty the wee bin, and he's ready to go again the next time I need him.
So your guide dog thinks of the Hoover just waking up.
I was going to say, he probably doesn't. No.
Because I remember he was lying one time, I forgot he was there, and the Hoover went out, and the Hoover actually bumped into him, and he caught the fight. What a shame.
Yeah.
But the Hoover, what it does is, if it does encounter something like that, it treats it as an obstacle, and it drops it out kind of like a breadcrumb in that area of the living room, you know, like a breadcrumb
right.
you're using. Mm. So it knows, I've just hit something, I've not to go there again. And then it just avoids that. The technology is fascinating.
Yeah.
And the thing. But
what about a lawnmower? I need to get one of them next. Automated lawnmower.
Smart lawnmower. There you go.
I thought about growing grass just so I could get one, but I thought, oh, that's
yeah.
Stuart, I want to come and live in your house and play with all this tech. It sounds great. We've a message, sorry, from Maria Politi on chat, and she says, I love my Google Assistant. I use it in English and Russian on my phone, and I also have two Nest Minis for each room in my apartment. She says it's a godsend. So she likes the Nest Minis. I think they're little smart home hubs, I think, aren't they? I'm not. I only have the Amazon kit. I don't have any Google technology in my house at the moment. Okay, so there must be people here with a few questions for the lads. Otherwise, they're going to have a very easy Friday afternoon. If you have a tech question, you have something you want to ask, this is the place to come. Otherwise, we let the lads go home early. Ash would like to leave, I'm sure, and go home. And Stuart probably wants to knock off early today. So if there's no questions, we'd be logging off. But I'm sure there are people who have a few questions. If you'd like to raise your hand, Alt and Y is the shortcut on Windows, or on a mobile device, you can press the raise hand button, or you can type in the chat, Alt and H. We'd love to hear from you. So do come in with your questions. I was going to ask in relation to the Sight and Sound tech support desk, Ash, and the kind of calls you're getting in, maybe what are your kind of most frequent, do you guys keep almost a list of the frequently asked questions that you can kind of easily answer them? And does it kind of help people like that to move on?
Yeah, I suppose there are trends as well, like when new products are released, things like that, you do get like a spike. For example, we might see more BrailleSense 6. We've got the new BrailleSense 6 release at the moment, so we might get a few queries about those at the moment. Mm-hmm. Quite often it's like how to set up emails, for instance. We see quite a few of those at the minute. So it's people just needing help, a little bit of help in how to set up the emails on those. That in terms of what we see quite a lot of, maybe a few of those at the moment, but it's just because it's a new product, you see.
Is it tougher doing that on something? So just when you talk about the BrailleSense 6 there, for example, which at the moment, and we were only trying this a while ago, to connect to that, for you guys to connect and actually take control of that is not possible. Is that harder for you guys just to do that talking through? And it obviously takes more time.
For sure, yeah. And we're still working on that. Like you said, me and you tried it. And
yeah.
I'm just sort of working with a colleague to see if we can work that out. But yeah, at the moment, we can't remote onto them, which is a shame. But by no means is that I mean, we can't help it. It might just take a little bit longer, like you said.
Okay.
It's kind of a case of just guiding the customer which menus to go through, telling them which buttons to press, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Now we have a raised hand from Judith Fierce. So Judith, one sec, I will set this up, and we should be able to allow you should be able to speak. My Jaws is doing funny things here. Apologies. You can raise your hand, remember, by pressing Alt and Y if you want to raise your hand. And you can also type in the chat if you want to do that either. And please excuse me, I have to unload my Jaws because it's doing something very funny. So bear with us for one sec. So Stuart, your Dyson Hoover, just because I know some people will probably be asking this, it's a smart, clearly a smart Hoover, connects to your Echo and camera, the whole lot.
iPhone, yep, there's an app, yep.
Wow, okay, very good. I think there might be a few people going on to Amazon looking for these Dyson Hoovers afterwards. I mean, it's funny because you talk about, you know, you would think, okay, it's an expensive piece of tech, or it's very, you know, going to cost a lot, but probably saves you in the long term and gives you a level of, you know, that you know that you can do the cleaning yourself. Gives
well,
you
yeah, because it's sense. Amazing how much I
robots do it.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get away with saying you'd be doing the hoovering yourself, Stuart.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to do. Okay, Judith, apologies for the delay. You should be able to unmute yourself now. We'd love to hear your question.
Can you hear me?
Hi, yep, Judith, we have you. How are you?
Hi there. So this is probably really, really simple. But so I've got Jaws and I've got Braille display and speech. And quite often when I go to shut down at the end of the day, so I do, I go to desktop, I do Alt F4 and it says, what do you want the computer to do? And I click on shut down. And it was quite often, it seems to do this thing, can't blocked shutdown because I haven't closed all the programs. Mm-hmm. But I can't get to these blinking programs to close them down. So I do whatever it is, Alt Tab, whatever it is to go to, cycle around the programs. It just says Jaws Professional, doesn't show me anything. And in the end, I either have to just completely force it to shut down, or somehow I do it by trial and error. But how can I get it to show me the programs?
I'm glad you've asked that, because I've had that recently too. I thought it was just me. So Ash, I don't know, do you want to have a start with that one?
I know sometimes when you do the Alt F4 from the desktop, if there are programs still running, it sometimes prompts you to, like, it will say programs are running, and then you have to tab to close anyway. I don't know if that's the window that you're getting, and you might just need to tab until you get to the close anyway button. When you press enter on that, it then proceeds to shut down all the application, because it's kind of prompting you to say, you know, you've got programs open, you might need to save the work here. It's kind of, it doesn't want to shut down without you losing all that work. So
yeah,
that's the one I'm aware of. If that's not the case, then by all means, we can look into that with a ticket.
No, I have come across that, but and that does work, but I don't understand why
right.
It show me. So it comes up, so the on the Braille display, but if the speech says block shutdown, and I get cancelled, the word cancel comes up on the Braille display. So I click on that, and then I think it might sometimes show the program its own, but it is so quick. And it just goes back to desktop. And so I know.
Oh, right. Nobody. And when you alt and tab around, are there any other different locations open?
No, it just keeps saying Jaws Professional to everything.
Oh, okay.
Really weird. Because, I mean, you know, so I don't know. So in the end, I have to do what you said, just go to the close anyway and hope.
Yeah. Might be like a service or something running in the background. We'd probably have to look into that with some remote support, I would suggest, possibly.
Right. Okay.
Maybe take it offline, give us a call or drop us an email at support@sightandsound.co.uk.
Right.
And we'll make a ticket for you and probably remote into your machine. Take a look at what items are running in the system tray in the background, because sometimes that Alt and Tab won't get to those, you see. So maybe we'll look into that for you.
Thank you. Okay.
So Judith, I'm just quickly right? say as well, because you've got because you have Jaws Professional, I'm sure. Assuming you're working for an organisation, will it be an organisation?
I'm a self-employed Braille producer.
Right. I mean, this might not apply to you then, Judith, because this happened to me once as well. And obviously, it's just professional I use. And what had happened was it was actually my organization that were installing updates in the background. And I couldn't for the life of me work out what was going wrong. So I actually had to do a video call through my Envision glasses so that my cousin could see the screen. And right away, it was actually in one of the, he says, it's in the corner, the organization's installing updates in the background. So I'm just one, but if it's happening quite a lot, then I don't think that should really be the issue, should it?
It sounds like calling into support might be a good idea.
Because I've
funny, you mentioned it, Judith, I've seen it too lately. And I think, although I can't be sure of this, I think I've tracked it down to that on the day there's a Windows update. So when you turn on your machine and it says, please do not turn off installing updates, then it seems to do it to me. But that could be now me completely, that may not be the case.
That could be, because I haven't tried to connect those two things. So it might be if I paid attention to actually what happens on the day it does that, maybe they are connected, because I, as you say, if it's running in the background, you don't necessarily know. So it could be that.
If you give the support team a call, Ash and the colleagues will sort you out. So thanks, Judith, for your question. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for getting in touch. Okay, right. And remember, you can raise your hand, Alt and Y, or activate the raise hand button on the mobile device if you're on a mobile device. Now, we've had people who've been attending all week, and one of those is Andrew Summers in Glasgow. Andrew's here with a question. Andrew should be getting a Sight and Sound t-shirt. He's been attending every week, every day. So, Andrew, you should be able to unmute yourself, and we'd love to hear your question.
Hello, Stuart.
How are you? Good to hear you again.
I'm not too bad. I've got maybe an answer to Judith's.
Okay.
That's why I raised my hand. You could probably go in the task manager and see what is running. Go into the task manager with Windows, if it's Windows 10, Windows X, and come down to task manager and open it. And then you'll see you're running applications that are running like JAWS and Zoom, like would be running now, and see what's there. And then you can then applications key on the actual thing, open it up, applications key, come down to close.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. Okay, so go into the task manager, see if there's anything kind of maybe that you don't notice that's blocking.
The background,
okay, blocking the shutdown.
Yeah. If that's any help to Ash as well.
Yeah, and Andrew, you're spot on there. I think that's sort of goes with the system tray idea that I suggested. I think we're on the same page there. So yeah, definitely great shout from Andrew there.
Yeah.
I suppose so much of tech support, Ash, is about kind of doing this very thing, is trying to diagnose the problem, trying to take things out of the equation, eliminate, is it that? It might be that. Is that what you guys do a lot of?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Process elimination is definitely a key thing we do.
Well, Andrew, thanks a mil.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've got my mic open. I'm going to try it here now and see if it works.
Right, okay. Let's do this live. Nothing like doing this live.
Windows X.
You go to Windows X, okay. So you're going down through the
task manager.
Okay, perfect.
I wish I could share my screen.
Yeah, I'd have to do a few wizardry things to make that happen because we're on a webinar. But listen, don't worry, we can hear you, Joss. So we have a message. Rob Larmer on chat is saying, "Have you tried Windows key X and U twice? X shuts the PC down quickly." There's another possible one.
That's a good idea.
It'll still do this. Yeah.
But it's worth a try, isn't it?
Definitely a good
one. Thanks, Rob.
As I'm here, it's got list of items table apps 3 process application file for JAWS close name application file for JAWS 4. So then, if I go applications, end task, that would then shut everything off or shut it down or close it so it doesn't actually run.
definitely one for Judith maybe to have a look at next time she finds herself stuck in that situation. And Andrew, thanks, Emil. You're very good for coming on, and thank you for it's a great example of the group sharing knowledge with each other. So we're delighted to see that.
Thanks, Andrew.
Great to have you. Thank you very much for that. Now, remember, you can raise your hand, Alt and Y, if you'd like to do that, or activate the raise hand button on a mobile device, or you can press Alt and H if you want to chat, or you can activate the chat button on the mobile device as well. Ash, have you guys, just curious, have you sort of started delving, or have you personally even started delving into the new version of Windows, Windows 11? Or are you?
No, actually, no. I haven't had any hands-on experience at all yet. Okay. Have you?
No, I haven't. Have you, Stuart? You're the only cutting edge there.
No.
No.
I just want the thing to be running as smoothly as possible.
I know.
It's the same with, you know, like iOS. I know people who beta test, you know, they're on the iOS 15 beta testing program, and that's just not for me. I think I'd quite happily wait until it's all.
Yeah, my problem with it is I don't have a test machine to use, you know?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now we have another hand raised anyway from Maria, Maria Palidi. Maria's in Dublin, so it's nice, lovely to have Maria join us. And Maria, you should be able to unmute yourself, and we'd love to hear your question.
Oh, can you hear me?
We can. How are you?
Hello. I was actually going to ask about Windows 11 because when I figured out it's not rumors, it's not another patch of Windows 10, I kind of panicked because JAWS on Wednesday you said that there won't be any support until Christmas, and I was afraid I'll be forcibly upgraded and then my computer wouldn't start. But a friend of mine in Russia said he's using beta version with NVDA and it seems to work fine, and there isn't much difference between Windows 10 and 11, but he reckons the official version wouldn't be available until for at least another year. What I was wondering was when if and when the Windows 11 comes, how would you be able to let us know when it's fully accessible with JAWS? Because I wouldn't like to upgrade until it's, you know, fully accessible, just like in Windows 10.
Okay.
It was available in 15, but I didn't, well, I wasn't in financial position, but I didn't upgrade until 2018 when it was accessible.
Okay, Maria. So what I'm just going to, before I pass over to Ash, maybe to comment on this as well, there is, my understanding at least, is that you have to have a pretty new machine to get Windows 11 anyway. So if you have anything that's older than a couple of years, I think it's not going to take it. It's funny, I'm the same as you, so my personal machine is 2015 and I've already done, there's a little tool you can download and it is not going to qualify for Windows 11. So you won't be forced to upgrade. Ash, I don't know, I suppose these things always come out and they're fine-tuned a bit then, aren't they? And
it's hard to give a certain answer for, obviously there's a lot of other devices as well. For example, we've got the L Braille that people have been asking if that's going to support Windows 11. I think I know the answer to that. I can elaborate if you would like, but with like computers, it's hard. Usually there's a rule of thumb that JAWS will always support the latest OS for if you're on the latest version. I mean, it's pretty safe to say the latest version of JAWS is always going to work on the latest OS. Something like Windows 11, it's a major, you know, operating system. It's going to probably work out of the box straight away, but you need to be on the latest JAWS. So take advantage of the home user program this month. If you're not.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. And is the L Braille, do you think, do you want to elaborate on your L Braille thoughts about Windows 11?
Yeah, I'll be quick on that. Just so L Braille 4th gen, there were two models of it. The one that supported the 4th gen focuses, so the older one, that won't run with Windows 11. It will not be compatible. It's because of the computer chips that they use inside. They're not going to be compatible with Windows 11, but the new ones will. The 5th gen ones, the ones we currently sell, LROs, they will be Windows 11 ready when it is released.
Okay, that's great to hear. I think we'll be just watching Windows 11 for the next couple of months and see where it goes.
Let me just quickly jump in, Stuart, just on Maria's thing. I'm not sure if I'm correct in this or whether it was just a rumor, but my laptop's only 2 or 3 years old. And I was a bit concerned it wasn't going to take Windows 11, but apparently Windows 10 is going to be around up until 2025.
It's not going anywhere. Really, October 14th, isn't it? They said.
So I'm in no hurry. I think, you know, I'm just going to stick with my laptop I have with Windows 10 for the next maybe, I would say, as long as I possibly can. And then by the time I do upgrade and get a new laptop with Windows 11, everything should be hunky-dory.
I hope so.
I can add a couple of points just to go on to Maria's point. Windows 11, I think, is only available in 64-bit variants. So if you've got a 32-bit device, then it just won't support Windows 11.
Oh, I've got 64.
Yeah, most of them will be now. It's pretty unlikely you'll have 32-bit unless it's really old. Windows 11, I think they're kind of undecided about the whole upgrade process. I think it's going to be a free upgrade for most users, but I'm not certain. There are rumours that it might be paid in some circumstances, so that's to be confirmed.
You see, they changed my hard drive to SSD November last year. Actually, I was going to say another thing about if you don't know what programs are running, Be My Eyes specialized help. The guys at Microsoft are terrific, and it's open 24/7. Like, they helped me figure out that my hard drive from 2015 needed, the internal one needed to be replaced, so I took it to the shop in Stevens Green and they gave me the SSD. I don't know if that upgraded my computer to for Windows 11 eligible, but it's still like the it's just the hard drive, the rest of the machine is all 2015.
That's great, Maria. Well, look, at I mean, keep in touch with us. We certainly will, I suppose, in answer to your question, can Sight and Sound let you know when Windows 11 is kind of accessible. My thought would be that we'll definitely do a podcast or a webinar and maybe ask Ash very nicely if he'll come back and talk to us about it nearer the time. So I think keep an eye on our social media pages, Maria, or our podcast, or, you know, whatever, our email lists, and you will get more information on that. Okay. So thank you very much for that. Great to have Maria attending, of course. We have a raised hand from Derry Lawler, who's a regular attendee. And then Brian, I will come to you afterwards. So we'll have Derry, and then we go to Brian Hartston, who, of course, is doing all sorts of amazing things at Hartston Consultancy on making JAWS and all sorts of other applications more and more accessible. So Derry, you've been a regular attendee. We'd have to get you a T-shirt, but you should be able to talk.
Hi, Stuart, Ash, and Stuart. I hope you're all keeping well. I have nothing to ask. I just want to say thanks for a great week. I must say every day has been fantastic. I learned so much about JAWS and the Braille display. So I just want to thank you all, and Sight and Sound, and what a great week that this was. And thanks again.
Terry, thank you. And listen, thank you for coming, because I know you were very, you've asked lots of questions as well. So, you know, I am
using like iOS 15 at the moment on my only device. So I hope it doesn't work.
Brave man. How are you? Just how are you finding it, in case?
Yeah, look, it's great. I'm on 15 build 5. It's very good, very stable, I must say. I am enjoying it.
Stuart, would you be tempted to take the plunge based on Derry's recommendation?
Get your helmet upgrade.
Probably not, but I'm very encouraged by what you're saying there.
Yeah,
that's
so am I.
Really good to hear.
It's been stable, rock steady all the way. There's just one or two moments, but no, very good, I must say.
What iPhone do you have, Derry? What type?
iPhone 12 Pro.
Oh, so I do have the iPhone 12. Interesting.
Oh, it's he's getting now. Tempted. He's tempted.
I think he's going to do it.
Go on, Stuart. Go on. Do it. Okay, Derry, thanks a million for you. You're very good. Thanks a million. All right. Now, let's go to Brian Hartston from Hartston Consultancy. Brian has also been attending some of our events. And Brian, always great to have you. We should be able to unmute yourself there. And we'd love to hear you. We have you.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Yes, I'm in the no camp on the iPhone beta testing as well.
Okay. We just tempted Stuart Beveridge.
Okay. Windows 11 actually does work quite well. So if by any chance some machines do update, and Microsoft are pushing out this Windows update to some people, don't be too concerned. Ideally, you should be on Windows 10, and I would certainly encourage that. But it does actually work. The main difficulty at the moment is with alt-tabbing from one application to another. You're going to get a lot of spurious speech there that you don't actually need. And obviously, this is something that Microsoft or Vispero will need to look into. It does slow your productivity down. There's no question about that. But other than that, you're not going to be too seriously disrupted, I don't think, certainly at this stage.
What are the big, Brian, is there any, you know, I suppose in terms of maybe the UI, or are there new applications, or have you noticed big changes in some of the classic Windows 10 stuff that we might have known?
Yes, the start menu is a little bit different. So you would certainly have to get used to that. But JAWS 2021 and the upcoming 2022, that is reading it okay. JAWS is reading everything pretty much okay as it is. It just needs some refinement. I guess one of the big improvements or changes that I have seen is in relation to Microsoft Teams, because what they're actually doing now is slowly phasing out Skype, which is probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. And Teams is going to be available for home users. So if you've got a Windows account or an Office account, what they're encouraging people to do is friends and family to get together using Microsoft Teams instead. Now, what you can't do is that if you have a work Teams account, as many of us have, you can't actually use the special chat facility to jump straight into a chat with a work Teams account. This is specifically for home users who want to use Microsoft Teams, because there are dedicated keystrokes now for jumping into a home Teams chat and to start those off. And so you will notice, for example, that I think it's the Action Center keystroke for Windows notifications has changed. One or two small keystroke changes in order to accommodate this. But that's one of the main differences.
Okay, good. Interesting to keep an eye on that, Brian. And I think there's a slated for sometime in October for a release. Is that right?
Yes, I believe so. And as I think it was Eric or Matt was saying, you know, JAWS 2022 is going to support it. Mm. It might not be, you know, quite having the icing on the cake until the December update. But as I say, it is definitely going to work with it.
Okay, looking forward to seeing more and seeing how it all works. So thanks for sharing that with us, Brian, and thank you for your support during the week and for coming along. Always good to have you at the session.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed the sessions. I've ordered the Pearl camera. I think that's a really good offer, so we're waiting for that. And it's been a good week.
Good. Thanks a mil, Brian. Good to talk to you.
And you as well.
Okay. Now, I want to go back to Judith first. If you remember, Judith was chatting to us a few minutes ago about her computer and the shutting down issue. So, Judith, you should be able to unmute yourself again. We have you.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Right. Yes. Well, thank you for the helpful suggestions about closing down the computer. Brian mentioning Teams. I don't think anybody can really help me with this, but I have to use Teams for some meetings and I absolutely hate it. I much prefer Zoom. And one of the problems is there's not a keystroke for raising your hand in Teams. Can somebody tell me an easy way of doing that? Is there a way of getting to the right place to do it? I do it sometimes by accident, but I've never managed to do it on purpose.
Okay, I'm going to bring Brian on in a sec because he has, I think, an answer for this one. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just bring Brian straight on because I think he's going to tell us something. Of course, Teams is one of these things now that everybody is exploring. So Brian, you want to come in and give Judith a hand?
Hello, Judith.
Hello.
So I think the keystroke is actually Control Shift Y for that.
Right. Okay.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that is it. I'll need to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that is the one. Or is that the one to actually verify your hand raised?
If to raise hand, I believe is Control Shift K.
Control Shift K. There we go. Yeah.
Oh right. So that's again. Control Shift K is the one to raise your hand.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
Control Shift K. Let's. I'll just fire up my Teams and just quickly check it.
So have they introduced that since Teams started? Because I'm sure...
Yes, it was a latecomer.
Right, yes.
And I suppose, like lots of other things, like Zoom, like all these online platforms have had so many updates, in the last year, and they continue to have. And Teams, you can see how Teams has really evolved. And it should update automatically for you, Judith.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So Brian is checking that. Yes.
Yes, Control-Shift-K.
Right.
Is Control-Shift-K, most definitely.
Yeah.
That's and yes, there is a keystroke as well. I think it's Control Shift Y for verifying the number of hands raised as well. So you should be all right with that one.
And how do I put my hand down again? Do you know?
It's a toggle keystroke.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you. That is really helpful. I've struggled in so many meetings. I'm really pleased. Thank you.
All right, Brian, thanks for that. Again, good, great collaborative helping here. Okay, and Judith, hopefully some of the solutions that people gave for your Windows shutdown thing might be of help as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
All right, take care, Judith. Good to talk to you. Thank you. Now, we have a raised hand from Chris Brady. This is going great. I'll just mention to people that we have about a little over 10 minutes left on the tech surgery. So if you do have a question, it's your last shout to get your question in. Raise your hand with Alt and Y or press the raise hand button if you're on a mobile device. Now, let's bring Chris Brady in. Chris, you should be able to unmute yourself. There you go. Sorry.
Good afternoon, Chris. People.
How are you?
Good afternoon. Hey, very well, thanks. A while ago, Stuart Beveridge was talking about dictating, using dictation on the speech on the iPhone. Now, I can do this very well because I speak very clearly and enunciate well. I do this quite a lot. What I also do then, once I've dictated what I have wanted to write, I then use the rotor and go word by word and letter by letter, and I can then edit what I've done. So if I need to put full stops, commas, and things like that in, I can do so. But I can also dictate those if I wanted to. And I find that very, very helpful in a lot of situations, writing emails or even filling in web pages. If you go on a web page and you need to fill in web pages, different information. So I do find that very, very, but I've developed ways of being able to, as I've just explained to you, of being able to do this on the iPhone.
Stuart, I'm sure you've, I don't know if you have any comments on that, but you've probably done some of that in your time, have you?
And it is a good suggestion, Chris. And again, whether it's the Scottish accent and, but if I'm dictating, and as you say, when I've tried it, I dictate all my punctuation, etc. But then there's usually something that's gone wrong. And as Chris says, I can go back through it word by word and, edit. I just find that it's a personal thing. I just find it time consuming. I think it all depends on how competent you are at touch typing on the touch screen, or even in some cases, if you have the capability or the resources, depending on your setting, you could even connect a braille display or a keyboard in there to help with your typing. So it's just great to have so many options, isn't it, that are available.
I've actually done this dictation and edited the stuff, actually sitting on a train, and I've sent emails on a train when the train's been going along. Fantastic. So this is the thing, this is that's the modern technology, or what we used to call the wonders of Woolies, if you remember. Anybody remember that advert?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing how far we've come. And I think sometimes when we look at a new piece of technology, we almost think that's it. It can never get better. And sure, within 6 months, it's gotten better already. Isn't that
it? Certainly has. Yeah.
Chris, thanks for the chat, and thanks for along during the week. It's been great to see you, and hope we catch up with you soon.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. Thanks, Emil. Take care. Quick few messages in chat that I just want to acknowledge. We have Svetlana is just saying Microsoft is still changing requirements for Windows 11. It's still hard to tell for sure what will be compatible with it. So that's interesting to know. And she also says, colleagues, you're just amazing. We're lucky to have Sight and Sound as our partner. I'm especially grateful to Ash for all his support with El Braille. We fixed a couple of issues just because Ash had reported them to us. So Ash, big fan there from Svetlana. So
yeah, they've got great support, so thank you.
Yeah, and Svetlana's great and always attends our sessions. And we have to do an El Braille session, I think, Svetlana. So we get in touch with you about that. A text from Darren... Darren Pascal, sorry, and he says control and full stop in Microsoft Teams displays a list of keyboard shortcuts in Teams as a web page accessible with the JAWS virtual cursor enabled. That's a good one, actually.
Need to know, isn't it? Yeah.
That's always being updated as well. So thanks for that, Darren. I think it's interesting, you know, for Microsoft Teams and Zoom, and then you've got Google Meet, and they're all platforms that have just exploded really in the last couple of years. Mm. Now we're into the last 10 minutes of this session.
Stuart, sorry. Yep. I think there was just one miss from Darren. He put another message earlier up in the chat as well, just a really helpful one. I'll read it for you.
Thank you, Ash.
It's all right. He said regarding the coding question we had earlier. So there's an FS Cast episode, number 199. Yeah, he says it's well worth a listen, featuring a presentation by Glenn Gordon from Vispero to the US National Coding Symposium. Glenn actually mentions in there that Visual Studio Code as a starting point for a programming environment and recommends Python as a first language. And he's put a link in there with some useful resources available there. So that's a really good tip as well.
Thank you very much, Darren. Sorry, I have sincere apologies. I missed that. Thank you, Ash, for flagging it for us.
You're welcome.
And if anyone wants that link, and I'll send it on to the gentleman who emailed us as well, so that he can use that. Okay, Terri-Ann Sorman, who I know Terri-Ann's another regular attendee. We have to get t-shirts for all our regular attendees, but Terri-Ann, I'm going to unmute you so you can ask your question, and we'd love to hear from you. I think you're in the US, if I'm not mistaken.
There we are.
Hi, Terri-Ann, how are you?
I'm well. How about yourselves? You sound not a wonderful. Bother, thanks.
Sure, we're doing the best. It's a Friday afternoon, so we're okay.
There you go. A comment and a question. The comment when doing input of any kind of information, in addition to dictating and the things you've talked about for the iPhone, another good way to do that of inputting things is to use the onboard screen Braille input. It takes practice to learn how to do that, but you know, anything is easy once you know how, right? So that's definitely another way to input information using your iPhone if you're going to be sending messages or emails or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. It's not great something, suggestion. I must say, I haven't. Have you used Braille input, Stuart, or Braille screen input, rather?
Well, as Terri-Ann correctly says, I did try it, and it was okay on an iPad, but I couldn't get the hang of it as well on an iPhone. So I don't use it too much, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be something you want to do as a webinar or something at some point, is because there is a trick to learning how to do it. But, you know, once you get that down, why it can be a very useful thing and a very quick way to write information, especially if you're using, those of you who might be struggling with using the standard keyboard for writing information, the Braille way to to do this could be a good way to do that if you are a good Braille user.
Okay, great, great tip, Terry, and thank you for that. And we that's a definitely something we should look at as a webinar topic, and maybe for the social hub. Did you have a question as well, Terry?
Yes. Where is it that you're posting this week's?
Yes, they're so they're going up on the Sight and Sound YouTube channel. So if you put in, if you actually on Google, if you just put in Sight and Sound YouTube, it's the very first one that pops up on the search, and they unpacking tech to make you feel at home. I think those videos should pop up on the first page. And if you can't find them there, Terry, just drop me an email and I'll make sure you get whatever you need.
Very good. Thank you so much. Because I tried to find them last night and could not. So
okay, I know they've been definitely going up each day, and we've been putting them up on social media as well. But just if you have difficulties, come back to me, and we'll definitely make sure you get them.
Super. Thank you so much, and it's lovely to talk with you again.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Terry. Stay safe. Thanks, Emil.
And you as well.
Okay. Last question of the day, I think, unless anyone else has a quick question. We're going to go to Andrew Summers again. Andrew was telling us about the task manager last time, if you remember. He's up in Glasgow. So, Andrew, you should be able to... There you go.
Stuart,
yes.
Sorry to disturb and butt in. You're saying you're putting them all up on YouTube?
Yes.
We've got streams or treks.
And now lower.
Why they stopped putting them up as MP3s now, again? Because you were doing that for a while.
We were doing that, and there's somebody else, one of our colleagues, is doing the YouTube ones. But you know something? It's good feedback, and I'll tell you what I'll do, Andrew. I'll get all these ones, the unpacking tech that makes you feel at home, put up as a podcast as well. So yeah, that's a very fair point, and I'm glad you've said it.
I'm just saying it because of people that don't know how to navigate around YouTube very well.
Yep.
But they've got the streams and they can download the podcast.
Yeah, it's a good point. So in the next couple of days, I will make sure that I get them. I will add them to the podcast feed, Sight and Sound podcast. If people are subscribed, we'll get all these this week's sessions added there as well. That's a very good point. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, and just again, quickly, it's been a very good week, and I'm very grateful for all your support and Ashes and everybody in Sight and Sound.
Thanks, Andrew. Great to hear that, and it's very nice to hear. So it's a pleasure. Yeah, definitely.
No problem.
Ian Cooper says a good app for typing on iOS is FlipType Classic. That used to be, I think, Flexi. If I'm not mistaken, or those guys were behind the original Flexi. Stuart, you've probably used that. It's not something I've explored, but I know people are using it.
Yeah, it's been a good one. Just when I remember, guys, if I can just quickly chime in, and Judith and, you know, Brian might be able to confirm or, you know, tell me otherwise here. I'm not an expert on Teams at all, but Judith, if you're still with us, I will be honest with you, I'm struggling a bit learning all the keystrokes with Teams as well, and I much prefer Zoom at the moment. But two keystrokes I use a lot, especially when I can't remember keystrokes, control and full stop when you're in Teams actually is bringing up a list of all the different keystrokes you can use with the keyboard. So that raise hand and lower hand keystroke, for example, was in the menu that I brought up when I pressed control period. And they're all nicely laid out in headings. So if you have the virtual cursor turned on in JAWS, you can just press H a few times, you know, to go through the headings related to each keystroke summary. And then you can just down arrow and find the keystroke you want and maybe note it down as a good idea there. And also, if it's a JAWS-specific keystroke, try insert H as well when you're in Teams, and that will bring up a list of specific JAWS keystrokes. And I just think that having those keys at hand, you know, the control period and insert H, if you really are struggling with a particular keystroke, use those, you know, really, really invaluable resources there to actually get you through the most important keystrokes for yourself when learning Teams. I hope that's been of some help.
Insert an H is a good one, isn't it, for any insert application? H,
exactly. The control period looks the business in Teams as well.
Yeah, insert an H, definitely. And sometimes insert an F1 can be useful, giving you some context for information about the screen you're in. Okay, I just see, Terry, I'm not sure if I didn't lower your hand or you put your hand up again. So I'm just going to give you the opportunity to come back in case you wanted to, something we missed that you wanted to ask us. And if not, my apologies, that's my fault. That's my fault.
My hand was lowered.
Okay. That's no problem at all. Okay. No problem, Terry. Okay. That is it. Very last chance for anyone who wants to raise their hand or say anything at all. Other than that, it just leaves me to thank Ash and Stuart. Guys, you've been great. Thank you for coming on. I should mention that Ash and Stuart agreed first go. Once they were asked, they were straight back and said, we'd love to join the panel. So thank you for making our tech surgery today go so well. You're both very, very good to give us your time, and we very much appreciate it.
Pleasure, yeah, anytime.
Ash, we'll definitely have you back, and Stuart, we'll be seeing you next week to talk about WeWalk. I'm very excited about that. So this is it. This is the end of our week-long series of Unpacking Tech to Make You Feel at Home. What a great week it's been. I want to thank all my colleagues at Sight & Sound for their support. And I also want to thank our friends from Vispero, of course, who've been helping us out during the week. Our offers, those all-important offers, are available till the end of August. So you have a couple of weeks if you want to think about them, or you want to get your software maintenance agreements or your upgrades or anything like that. Give us a call on 01604-798070 or online at sightandsound.co.uk. We will be posting today's session on our YouTube channel shortly. And we will also be posting, and it's a good piece of feedback, we'll also be posting all these sessions on our podcast feed probably next week, but they will go up in the next week or so. And we'll make sure to put something on social media when that happens. Stay safe and well from Stuart Lawler and everybody at Sight & Sound. Thanks again to Ash and Stuart for being phenomenal guests today. Thanks to those people who are putting messages in chat. Thank you, Svetlana. It's great to have you all the time. Take care, folks. Have a good weekend, everybody. And from everyone on Sight & Sound, we'll talk to you all soon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.